Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
I want to share with you a beautiful Bible verse. It's from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. Here it is. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." In that little verse, there is everything you need to begin your journey back to freedom, back to self-sovereignty, and back to being able to withstand the pressures around you without becoming resentful and giving in, or yielding and giving yourself up to them. And so I want you to hear it again. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful means being able to stand back, take a mental step back, and watch. Put a little distance between you and the pressure source. Be a little bit detached and watch. Don't resent people. Don't hate them. Don't become angry and resentful toward pressures. Just watch without being affected by them. And at the same time, you go through life thankful. Thankful because you remember God and what He's done for you. And you see all around you His creative genius in the great things that He has made. And you remember Him and you are thankful. And with that kind of an attitude and that kind of a watchfulness, you can begin your journey to the kingdom of heaven. Today, I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to be watchful and thankful. So please stay tuned, and here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is avoiding ambition. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. I'm stopping by to revisit some things that you need to know and understand. And if nobody says them, you're not going to know it. Or if people say them, but don't say them with enough truth in it, enough love in it, and you're not going to hear it. And even if it's said with truth and love, you probably still won't hear it. But maybe you will, and pray God that you will. The first thing I want to do is to revisit. And where I'm going with this is I want you to realize that you are too lost in your thoughts. You spend a large amount of time lost in daydreams, worries, reliving the past, planning for the future, worrying about this and worrying about that. And when you're not lost in that kind of thought, then you're lost in some kind of daydream or fantasy. But when you're not lost in that, then you find something else to get lost in. Lost in food, or lost in marijuana, or lost in music. Lost in something. Well, you need to refind yourself. You don't want to be spend your whole time lost. You want to refind yourself instead of being lost. Remember, a long time ago, there was a television show called Lost in Space. Well, you don't want to be lost, because if you want to find God and you want to find the purpose for your existence, then you can't spend the rest of your life being lost. Now, it's one thing to be lost out in the world. It's another thing to be lost in thoughts. And you don't realize that when you're lost in your thoughts that you're lost. You think you've found yourself. You have ideas, and they're so clever. And then you think, well, I'll go ahead and follow that idea. And then you make plans and goals. And then you go out in the world and strive and huff and puff to get what you want, what you planned, what you schemed, what you manipulated. And it doesn't work out. And then you become resentful. Or it does work out, but something is still wrong and you still haven't found yourself. So finding yourself is something that happens in the moment, in the delicate moment when you take a step back. When you find yourself lost in music and you take a mental step back and suddenly you're back in the present moment again. When you're lost in daydreaming about something and you're so lost that you drive right by the freeway exit you were supposed to have taken, and you take a mental step back and say, whoa, and you're back in the present moment again, back in reality, because being in reality is where you can also realize God and realize what He might have in store for you to do, instead of only thinking about what you want to do and what you think you want to do. And mostly what you think you want to do is because other people have pressured you, and then you just do what they have you to do. You see what I mean?
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Are you feeling stressed out? Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Maybe Christian stress management could help. Want to find out more? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station.
So in the Garden of Eden, Adam left the simple paradisical way of living, and he was ambitious. He wanted to be ambitious. He wasn't ambitious, but he wanted to. In other words, he fell into thought. And who was coaching his thought? It was, well, his wife was talking to him, but it was the devil behind the whole thing. It was the devil who was, or the serpent, if you want to call it the serpent, who was impressing these kinds of thoughts into Adam's mind. And he dwelt with those thoughts. He ruminated upon them and he liked them. And then he reached. And that was the first ambitious act in all of history. And it doesn't seem like a big deal, does it? Just reaching for a piece of fruit. But it was a big deal because by that reaching, he cut his bond with the Creator. And the Creator's way, see, the Creator's way is the intuitive way, to live spontaneously and do what you know is right in your heart. And you do this, and you do that, and you go about the day, and you move this way, and you move that way. And at the end of the day, you see that you got things done, and then you feel fine, and you sleep the peaceful sleep of a babe. But now what do? You wake up in the morning, and before you know it, you start thinking and planning about what you have to do. Oh, no, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then you go to some pressure cooker environment where you can't be spontaneous and where they pressure you. Pressure, a pressure cooker work environment, a pressure cooker school environment. See, or maybe the home is already a pressure cooker. Maybe when you were a little kid, you wanted to be spontaneous and they wouldn't let you. If you accidentally spoke the truth, they slapped you around. See, you had to sit quiet. You weren't allowed to express the truth. Mommy, why is grandma so mean? Don't say that about your grandma. Don't you ever dare say that about your grandma. I'm sorry, Mommy. Sorry, sorry. Go to your room. See? So you couldn't speak the truth. You got immediately put down for it. Then you went out into the world and there were bullies on the street and in the playground and bullies at school and boring teachers that went on and on and on and forced you to do this and forced you to learn that and forced you to memorize this. So where was the freedom? There was no more freedom. So at home, at school, at work, pressure, pressure. See, it doesn't have to be that way. Home could be a place of joy where everybody is working. Everybody is helping each other. It could be beautiful. Work could be that way. Everything could be that way. And that's the way it would be. That's the way it is in God's kingdom. That's the way it is in God's kingdom. But You have to find God's kingdom. You have to pray, thy kingdom come. Because right now, what kingdom are you living in now? It's probably hell.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
So, at home, at school, at work, pressure, pressure. See, it doesn't have to be that way. Home can be, could be a place of joy where everybody is working, everybody is helping each other. It could be beautiful. Work could be that way. Everything could be that way. And that's the way it would be. That's the way it is in God's kingdom. That's the way it is in God's kingdom. But you have to find God's kingdom. You have to pray, thy kingdom come. Because right now, what kingdom are you living in now? It's probably hell. A hell of pressure cooker, where people nag you and tease you, and where even thoughts nag you and tease you and goad you on. Your thoughts are always goading you on. They don't give you a moment's peace. Who was in charge? See, in the very beginning, who was in charge of those thought processes? Satan, the devil, very subtly took over the thought processes, and Adam yielded. There you go. He gave himself to those thoughts. He yielded to them. He gave in to them. And then he reached and he changed. And thereafter, he became subject to those thoughts. What did Christ say? All who sin are slaves. Adam became subject to the thoughts and the thought process. He became subject to ambition, to pressure, and to even the devil himself. And that's how hell on earth comes into being, you see? And everywhere there's pressure. You have to refind the way Adam was before he fell. And then even better than that, because Christ has now come. So it can be even better than that. But the first step is to find what Adam had before he fell, where he was free from. See, now you're not free from pressure. Any pressure becomes a compulsion. See, a thought becomes a compulsion. People, what people say to you becomes a compulsion. The look on their face, they criticize you, and then you compulsively feel like you have to prove something. See, and so there's no freedom anymore because you are subject. See, you fell and you became subject to what you fell to, and now it's your authority. So it began when Adam yielded, okay, what he gave himself to, and allowed those thoughts. See, he gave them permission, cohabitated with those thoughts, and they became his what he wanted, and then he reached and he changed. So here's what I want you to see now, before I continue with today's little talk about consciousness. You must return to the free consciousness, where you are free, where when people approach with some kind of a will or demand or some sort of a pressure, you don't fall to the pressure. See, now all you can do is conform or rebel. You can give in and resent the person and resent the pressure. Or you can rebel, resent the person, see, give in or rebel. But when you rebel, you're still not living your own life. You're still reacting to the pressure. See what I mean? Any kind of a response to pressure, any kind of a response is obedience. So to be disobedient to worldly pressure is to not be affected by it at all. there's the pressure to not speak the truth, but you speak the truth anyway. The pressure to go along to get along, but you stand for principle and what's right. You're your own person. See, there's just so many pressures. I'm not going to list them. I just want you to see that if you can just stand back and watch the pressure without falling, without resenting it, without giving in to it, without yielding to it on the one hand, and without struggling against it on the other, you just stand back and watch it. You are in a different dimension, a different space. You're in your own time and space, and you see the pressure, but it doesn't affect you.
Show others that you appreciate what they do for you. A Meditation Moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. The motivational speaker Leo Bascalia said, "Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. My dad sometimes buys fruits for me, and I always remember to say thank you afterwards. If I forget to say it in person, I'll send a text message to him afterwards." Show others that you appreciate what they do for you. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
Once you begin on the path of watchfulness, of meditation, you will still feel the pull, but now you know how to deal with it. Take a mental step back and you watch it. You feel the pull, you feel the tug, but you don't resent it. See, you've been a creature of pressure your whole life. So yeah, you'll still feel it. You'll feel a pull in your solar plexus. If you just stand there and watch it and let that little feeling pass, and then do or say what is given to you in the moment to say. And if nothing is given to you, then nothing is what you're supposed to say or do. But there's freedom in just watching, in just observing, in just holding your ground. As time goes by, that old conditioning will go away. And more you'll be your own person until the day comes when they will pressure you, they will demand of you, they will seek to impose their will upon you, and you won't feel anything at all. You will respond with only calmness and patience and what you're given from within and above in the way of word or deed. And if nothing comes to you to say or do, then nothing is what you need to do, but you will be safe. So now everything around you has authority over you because of Adam's sin. And because you were born with that legacy, you've never had freedom. But potentially you do, if you can find the way out. And the way out is when there's the pressure, there's the appeal, and you don't resent it, see? Resenting is reaching for something to buttress your ego, to fortify your ego, something to judge the other. See, so judgment is also a forbidden act, isn't it? So when you hate another person and judge them, that's wrong. But yielding, giving in, going along to get along, being a people pleaser, see, your whole life you've yielded and given in and gone along. So since you went along, the moment somebody said something or pressured a little bit or was almost going to pressure, you yielded, see, and you learned the art of just going along, immediately yielding. And for that, see, well, they liked that, didn't they? But they had no respect for you. You became a doormat for them to wipe their feet on. Sure, and they pretended, they lauded you for being a good guy, see? And for being such a good guy and so popular, and you felt really good about that, but you had to sell yourself down the river for it. So now you have to learn how to do it. And how to do it, don't go out in the world and start trying to stand on your own two feet yet. You're not ready for it yet. First thing you have to do is to refine the space whereby you can watch these pressures. You can learn how to get recentered and de-stress a little bit by detaching from the pressures of the world and attach to your conscience. Do you yielded to pleasure? So now it is your master, see? You yielded to drugs or to marijuana, to alcohol. See, you yielded to your nagging mother or your witchy wife. You went along and you excused what you're yielding. You excused your giving in. You excused it and justified it and rationalized it. But you gave up your freedom that way. You gave up sovereignty of your soul, and then you live in hell. See, somebody else's hell. You live in it. So now you have to start with something very simple. You must learn, and that's why I have the little meditation. Or if you prefer, the little hand-warming exercise. You've heard of hand-warming. It's very simple. You just become aware of your hands until they feel a little tingly. And it helps you to stay in the present moment, to become recentered, see, so that your body, and beginning with your hands, are subject to your consciousness, see, instead of being subject to external pressures. So now you reestablish a natural control over yourself by your little hand-warming exercise. It's very simple. It's a little, very little basic biofeedback exercise. Many of you have learned it at work for stress management. See, a lot of business places will teach it. It's very simple. But mine, so I have it at sheddingshackles.com. You can go to sheddingshackles.com and there it is, the little hand-warming exercise. I call it sitting quietly. That's what I call it. Sitting quietly. So just go to sheddingshackles.com, look for sitting quietly. And there's the little exercise. You can learn how to get recentered and de-stress a little bit by detaching from the pressures of the world and attach to your conscience. Now, this consciousness is very important because your consciousness is given to you by God. It's your soul. And with this consciousness and attaching to your conscience, you attach yourself to what you know in your heart and then see and know in the inner light, which we call conscience from God. You see the trees and the mountains and the lakes and the rivers, and you become aware of God's greatness, of his creative genius, of the magnificence of his creation. And you become aware of things like love and kindness and compassion and forbearance and long-suffering and patience. And they're so beautiful. And then you one day realize that God is that way. He is patient. He is long-suffering. He is kind. And all of these things that you learn are realizations in your consciousness. You learn more and more about God, then he also teaches you about things, about science, about how to relate to other people. It's a total learning thing, but it's intuitive, and it's from within and above. It's wordless. You realize, you see, you know, and you sigh a sigh of relief, and you can lay aside all of the stuff that you tried to memorize and learn, and it never did you any good. And now, if you do any learning from now on in a class or from a book or something, it will then serve the good of realizing more and more about being patient with people and loving God and so on. So it's all good, but you have to refine the freedom that your consciousness can have when you learn how to take a mental step back, see, a mental step back and watch the pressuring ideas and the pressures on the outside. Watch them without responding to them, without resenting them, without yielding to them, just watching them. You learn that little basic thing with the help of the hand warming exercise to get you started, and then maybe go right away next to the little meditation that I have. It just adds a little extra to the hand warming exercise. But just because you tried some kind of biofeedback or meditation or something somewhere else, no. Mine is very simple. Most of the other ones will put in, for example, they will put in visualization. And you see visualization getting lost in the imagination. That's the problem. Right now, you go out in the world, people pressure you, you fall, you fail, you give in, you yield, you resent, and then you escape into your imagination and hide there. See? So that's the problem. No, you don't want to hide in your imagination. So you need to be to step back from it. So what I have is very, very, very simple. It's very, very Christian. And it can, for the sincere person, it can lead toward God. All right? It's that simple. So I've spent a lot of time. This was supposed to be a little introduction to the video that was going to the lecture that I was going to give. But I do have a little lecture about consciousness and about attention and giving your attention instead of having your attention grabbed. It's at YouTube, and it's called, I forget what I call it, something about the conscience connection. I think that's it, the conscience connection. I just put it up on YouTube. It's a little video. You can watch it, and I think you'll enjoy it. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.